This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. We just talked about 10 minutes ago, the five-borough race coming to Citi Field that hopefully Evan and Tiki as a show could be a part of. Well, I'm here to give you, at this time last year, we didn't know what the hell was coming in baseball season. Seymour Wiener appeared in front of our eyes, and the whole ball got rolling.
Yeah.
I'm predicting the five baseball gimmicks we do not see coming in 2025.
All right.
By the way, New York has a five-borough race every year.
The bike tour.
Called the New York City Marathon.
Oh. I'm in the bike tour coming up. That's five boroughs.
I mean, I guess that's a race.
Because fat people could do it? No, it's not a race.
You got a mechanical thing that pushes you through.
All right, well, I can't argue that. I mean, it sounds insulting, but here we go.
Number five.
September-October beards. Yankee fans will grow postseason beards as the team fights for the postseason in September to mirror the players that will be doing it for the first time.
Yeah, but they have to keep them clean, so I don't know if it's going to get... That's not going to be too...
Let's see by the time we get to September.
You know what I could see as you said that? Because sometimes great ideas come from good ideas.
Oh, here we go.
The Yankees say you got to keep it clean. Mm-hmm. Tiki said that. They got to keep it clean.
Yeah.
Yankees get off to a tough start. Everyone's worst fears are true. And then come July and August, much like the Mets of last year, Yankees get hot. And as a team, one of the things they all start doing is just growing out the beards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a part of a good luck charm. Is Randy Levine and Lon Trost and Brian Cashman going to get involved with something that's considered good luck?
No.
The answer is no. I think the gimmick is that the Yankees are just a bunch of monsters come October with everyone having big shaggy beards because it got them going.
Could happen. All right, here we go.
Number four.
All right, the number four baseball gimmick we don't see coming. A man riding a white horse will appear outside Citi Field prior to Clay Holmes starts this summer as his Cy Young bid builds in honor of his song White Horse by Chris Stapleton that now becomes a Mets song.
Yeah, when...
Is he going to change it?
I don't know.
I don't think so. When Clay was the closer, that song was panned as not being a good closer song. But when you're a starter, it doesn't really matter. Like, whatever your song is, it's fine. So I think that song works a lot better than that intimidating, I'm going to get three out song.
I think the dog with the pipe in its mouth is getting the boot this year. We're getting a man with a white horse. All right, here we go.
Number three.
A Yankee fan will dress as Fat Bastard and go viral. Why? He's going to yell, get in my belly, after a hot home run streak from Cody Bellinger, and he becomes the Fat Bastard belly guy for Cody Bellinger.
He's fat! I don't even get that.
You never saw Austin Powers?
I love Austin Powers, yes.
Get in my belly.
Bellinger's nickname, Evan?
Is belly.
So get in my belly.
No, I get all that. I still don't understand how this comes back, the Fat Bastard.
We had the rally pimp last year with the Mets. So when Bellinger gets hot, there's going to be a guy doing the get in my... I bet you the big screen, get my belly. There'll be a person dressed as Fat Bastard at Yankee games.
People are going to be talking about their stomachs because of belly.
Yeah.
So belly.
You know what,
get
that...
my belly.
That idea reminded me. It's been too long since I've watched the Austin Powers trilogy.
I need to go back and watch it.
Does it hold up?
Here we go.
Number two.
At some point this year, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man will throw out a first pitch at Citi Field, spawning a 10-game win streak and leading fans to dress as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Why?
Because why not?
Because Ghostbusters is iconic with the city. They've already introduced a five-borough race, so this now he's
going
to become the city.
Why are we going back to Ghostbusters?
Kodai Senga, the ghost fork pitch, maybe? Or the tie-in, the day that Kodai pitches?
I don't like it. I feel Ghostbusters when I think of ghost fork.
What do you think?
Did you think of Grimace last year?
No, I think of Casper.
Okay.
We can't have someone dressed up as Casper.
We'll find Devin.
Why not? He's friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
Number one.
There will be people completely dressed, including face paint, in all gold as Yankee Stadium as Paul Goldschmidt's MVP campaign continues. Dare I say gold dust.
All right.
And there's your gimmicks this year.
I think I like the idea of the Yankees growing beards to get their season going.
That was creative, Cinco.
Thank you. Very much so.
Like, the Yankees opened up the floodgates by saying, hey, you can grow beards. But Tiki pointed it out. Hey, it's got to be organized.
Right.
It's got to be groomed well. Once the season starts, especially when it comes to good luck and bad luck, I don't know, man. If all of a sudden the guys start growing and they start winning,
right,
this could turn into hockey beards.
You can't embrace it if it becomes a thing.
Right.
It's no different than what the Mets did last year with OMG and everything else that was going on. And I think the team really only embraced the OMG stuff. But if the team starts embracing it and they truly believe in it, it becomes psychological.
There is
a confidence booster for them. So you have to adhere to it.
Oh, yeah. I think there are two things that happen. There's the gimmicks that the fans get into, and then there's the gimmicks that move the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
OMG moved that locker room.
Yes.
They were the ones started playing it after every home run. They're the ones playing it after wins. And then we as fans joined in.
Yeah.
Grimace was a fan thing.
I don't think the players cared about it.
They did not care.
Right.
At all. But I tell you this, and maybe Pete was just being nice when I saw Alonso down at spring training. But you remember when I cut my beard? And my reasoning behind cutting the beard was I was trying to get the team going. But
yeah, Pete, I thought you cut it because he cut his.
Well, that's my point. He also went clean shaven. And I said to you, I think it's a sign from Alonso. He's talking to me saying, cut your beard. I went clean shaven. So I asked him, hey, when you went clean shaven.
I'm sure it was his wife.
Were you trying to tell
his memory of you?
Maybe. But I asked him. I still asked the question.
Yeah.
This was on the interview that was on the Rico Bronya, if you go back five episodes. And I said, were you trying to tell me something with that clean-shaven beard? And he said, absolutely. I'm glad you cut the beard. So, listen, unless you think he's a liar, which maybe you do.
Good for Pete playing the game.
Yeah, right.
Whatever you say, Evan.
Whatever you say. Just get this freak away from me. Before we get back to your calls, there was a tweet earlier today that came out of the phone of Adam Schefter. And I want to read it to you and then explain why this matters. And why this may change everything you think you know about the Giants offseason. Okay, I'm going to read this point blank. Yesterday, Cam Ward had his pro day. He was very, very impressive. All right. Adam Schefter tweets, ESPN sources. Tennessee will hold an additional private workout with potential number one overall pick, Cam Ward. The Titans have become increasingly impressed with Ward. And while they are expected to listen to offers for the number one overall pick, it would now take an even stronger package to acquire the draft's top selection. This tweet by Adam Schefter, I'm sorry. Can we just call it like it is?
Right.
Mike Borgonzi, the general manager of the Titans, essentially wrote the tweet.
Right.
He basically said, put out there how much we love Cam Ward and mention, we don't think we're going to trade the pick, but boy, if we did, we're going to expect a lot more. That sounds like a guy who's trying to trade the number one pick and is driving up the price.
Absolutely, because what's the point of letting that be known, right? What's the point of telling or letting it be known, because Borgonzi didn't do this himself, but what's the point of the Titans having been known? We really like Cam Ward, because you're never supposed to give away your draft strategy, and we're holding an additional workout. Oh, and by the way, if you want to come up, it's like the add-on. Oh, if you want to trade for him, it's going to take a lot more now.
Right.
If they really want Cam Ward, just take Cam Ward.
Right. They don't have to do this.
We're not taking any offers. So it's clearly positioned to get people to offer more. Now, I don't think it's going to work.
Well, so here's the element that's the unknown. Borgonzi may be sitting there saying, look, we got to get a certain package. If we don't get that package, screw it, we'll take Cam Ward.
Exactly.
That's they're on the table.
They're in win-win no matter what. They haven't signed a veteran yet. Well, they have, but they don't have a real veteran there right now. I know they were looking at Russell Wilson. That didn't necessarily happen. So they're sitting there with Will Levis, and I forgot who else they signed. They did sign somebody else. But
new team, who dis? Right? Who signed with the Titans at quarterback?
But at the end of the day, they need to take a quarterback who they can either rookie, learn, and hopefully groom into a viable starter, or get a veteran so they can play winning football this year.
Yeah.
So it's they're
Brandon
not,
Allen.
Brandon Allen, exactly. Not a exactly. So they're either going to get this rookie, Cam Ward, or they're going to sign a veteran.
Right.
So it's one of the two.
Right.
And it's like, if people offer for the first round, right, we'll just sign another veteran. If they don't, we'll take Cam Ward. They're in a win-win situation no matter what.
And the truth is, they may already know we are going to take Abdul Carter. They may know that. They may know that. And they also know, but we don't have to take him at number one, especially because there are teams that are quarterback hungry. So you look at a team like even Cleveland at number two, if they just prefer Cam Ward and want to draft a quarterback, it could be as simple as the Browns going from 2-1, which puts you in the great spot if you're Borgonzi. You move back one slot, you take extra capital, you get the player you wanted. But the Giants fit this even better.
Yeah.
Because the Giants are at three, and so if you make a deal with them, yes, you got to worry about Cleveland, and they could very well take Abdul Carter, or they may just follow up with another quarterback, and then the guy you want to take is sitting there anyway. This is exactly what the Celtics did years ago when they wanted to draft a fellow by the name of Jason Tatum. You may recall, he injured his ankle last night. Hopefully he'll be okay. They traded the number one pick or went back with Philadelphia because they knew they were taking Tatum anyway.
Yeah.
So they got extra assets and got the player they wanted anyway.
I can't see the Tennessee Titans going this season without upgrading their quarterback room. And even if it's just money spent in their quarterback room. Currently, they're spending $4 million in their quarterback room. That's it.
Yeah.
$4 million. That's nothing.
So it tells you they're drafting a quarterback?
It tells me that they're bringing in a veteran and maybe also drafting a quarterback.
I got you.
So this is all nonsense, smoke and mirror.
Oh, this is all, we want a better offer from all you suckers out there that want to trade up to number one, which, not calling the Giants suckers, but they would naturally be a team that's interested. Yeah. And they're in a great spot because I went through the history of every time the number one overall pick was traded. Mm. It's happened 16 times, I think, in NFL history. And what I kept running into when I went back to these trades is most teams weren't coming from three. They were coming from 9.
Mm-hmm.
They were coming from 12. They were coming from further away than the Giants are.
Right.
And if you're the Giants and you're only coming from 3, what you're going to have to give up to me is far less than a team that's coming from 9.
Because as you just alluded to, if the Tennessee Titans really want Abdul Carter and they'll take him at number 1, they'll get him at number 3.
Yeah.
Right? Because Cleveland's not taking him. Well, they just played Myles Garrett.
You know, if you're Tennessee and you trade with the Giants, you know, if you decide we're not taking a quarterback, we're going to go with a veteran, we like Will Levis, you know, worst case scenario, I either end up with Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. That's not a bad spot to be in. Because you know that a quarterback's being taken at 1 because the team that's trading up to number 1 is clearly selecting Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, likely Cam Ward. So I think the Giants' positioning right now in terms of trading for number 1, it's all right there in front of them. I think what makes this complicated, and this is a tough one because there's no right answer here, is what are you willing to give up? You're a Giant fan. You want to go up to number 1. I get it. I think it's clearly available based on that kind of tweet that's laid out by the Tennessee Titans, essentially. How far are you willing to go when you're literally going from 3 to 1? And there is a chance that if you just stick at 3, you could end up with your second choice at quarterback. So what say you? Mm. First of all, do you like Cam Ward?
I do. The one thing that you start to hear is that he's a little bit quiet. It's not that, like, boisterous, but just loud leader that it feels like a lot of these guys are with great personalities. Like Lamar, who's king of everybody in Baltimore. Josh, who's king of everybody up in Buffalo. Patrick Mahomes, etc. but he's physically very talented and he's mature. So it's almost like you can draft him and not have to wait. Oh, he's going to take 2 years to develop.
Right.
He's played a lot of college football. So you believe that he can be viable pretty quickly. So I think he's interesting, and all these guys are interesting, but all these guys are also very flawed.
Would you give up next year's number one along with number three for Cam Ward?
This year's number three?
Well, clearly you got to throw this year's number three. I'm talking about next year's number one as well.
And next year's probably.
Interesting.
Because you don't need your first round pick for a quarterback if you take it.
That's true.
Take him this year.
That is true. Would you guys be willing to do that?
In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. You can't get there without swinging. So
right. That's
it. That's the position that could change it forever. And I'm not entering this scared or tepid. If you believe in him enough that you would be willing to take him at three, then I got to think you do everything you can to move up.
All right, next year's one and this year's two and next year's two. I'm going to keep pushing this till you say no, all of you guys. So just
I mean, honestly, that's probably no to me.
That's too much. That is a lot.
Because I think
you're going up two slots.
Yeah, exactly. But there's also other quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah.
Right, there's starting to put this increasing belief that some of these guys are going to be pretty good. Maybe not superstar all-pro starters, but they could be good players in this league. So why give up my 2 years of draft future for a guy who, you know, you hope pans out but might not?
And to Tiki's point, if the Titans are listening to that and asking for that, then I'm calling their bluff. Because then how much must they love Cam Ward if they're even listening to this?
Yes.
So I back away. You don't want my next year's first-round pick? Have them. I think that's negotiating.
I wonder about that, because that's a good point. Like, how much do you love Cam Ward if you're open to trading the pick? But then I go back to the New England thing. Now, you guys have claimed Rob Kraft, Bobbert. Bobbert Kraft got involved.
Yeah.
But they were listening at number three. And then say, screw it, we're going to take Drake May. So how much did you love Drake May
if you
were listening anyway to move back?
But I think they were just trying to see what they could potentially get. Like if there was someone way down
right,
who was going to give, all right, we'll give you two first rounders and two second rounders and a fifth pick swap, whatever. That's what they were waiting for.
The last time a team went from three to number one in the NFL draft, because I wanted to come with a comp. There's no comp. It was 30 years ago, and there were two players traded for the number one pick. The other time it happened, believe it or not, involved the New York Giants back in the 60s, and that's how they got Fran Tarkenton. Mm. They used that pick to get Fran Tarkenton.
Right.
So it's interesting, but it's irrelevant, unfortunately. Like, it doesn't give you a heads up of, okay, this is usually the cost to go from three to one, because it's unique. We haven't had a lot of three to ones.
I have an odd feeling the Titans love Shedeur Sanders.
So this is all a pivot to just take Shedeur?
Yeah,
maybe.
They think
they
can get Shedeur at three, have everybody think they love Cam Ward, and really deep down, we've heard all this negative stuff about Shedeur Sanders. It feels like it's almost too negative that it's too much smoke.
I don't disagree with you. There's been too much hate on Shedeur.
Exactly. Over the top.
For a guy who
had
a really good college career.
Yep.
Here's what I know. When Adam Schefter tweets out like he's the GM of the Titans have become increasingly impressed with Ward, but they're expected to listen to offers for the number one overall pick. But it would now take an even stronger package to acquire the draft stop selection. That sounds like a game. That sounds like a, hey, bidding has begun.
Mm.
We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019. A lot on the table. The New York Mets have come up with one of the great gimmicks for 2025, a five-borough mascot race. Brandon Nimmo declared war on the New York Yankees, and I've tried to talk Yankee fans off the ledge. I think you're a hell of a lot better than you guys even realize. Plus, the Cam Ward situation. So a lot on the table. So at 5:45 today, you will hear the official on-the-record World Series predictions of Tiki Barber, of Sean Morash, of Tommy Lugauer. Unfortunately, not for me, because you will have to tune in to tomorrow night's very special Rico Bronya, where I unveil my World Series today.
No,
we don't.
Are you out of your mind?
Well, why? We have an MLB predictions podcast on the Rico tomorrow night, so.
Great, I'm going to go outside and scream outside, and everyone will hear me. You have an obligation to our radio audience to do it there, and then you can repeat it on the Rico.
I
speak for everybody here, no?
Yeah.
On my, cat got your tongue, Sean?
My Sunday gambling show, I already gave away my World Series pick. Same audience as the Rico, you could do it here as well.
I wouldn't say it's the same audience as the Rico.
I wouldn't either. I've seen some of the numbers.
We'll get to our World Series predictions. Maybe I will join in the next 13 minutes. But let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. John is calling from St. Louis. How are you, John?
Hey, what's going on, boys? So, Evan, I can't believe you're forgetting. It might have been replaced by Learn Spanish with Jose Reyes. But the original, like, Mr. Met racing to Shea, if you remember, at the end of the race, they would actually come in on the warning track from, like, left to right field and run up, like, the third base side. So we have had it before.
I do not remember that. When did they stop doing that?
Like I said, it was probably replaced by Learn Spanish with Jose. So like,
no, it had to. I really that late? Because anything after 93, I would remember. Because I was going to all the games. Like, I have this vivid memory of it. So I'd assume something like that would be late 80s, early 90s for me to forget. But I don't remember that at all. Now, he did mention Professor Reyes. I can find it if you're interested. But Professor Reyes was a segment where Jose Reyes would teach the fans Spanish. What if I told you that I was once featured on Professor Reyes with
serious?
Jose Reyes? Yes. Me and Eddie Erickson, who used to work here, does a great job still with Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
And what did he teach you?
We went to the game, and he took the video of it, Eddie did. So he has it. I think he sent it to me years ago. And I forgot. I don't remember. But I can bring that in tomorrow if that's something you're intrigued by.
I am.
Okay.
I'm very intrigued.
Are you? Well, you're not here tomorrow, so.
Oh, damn it. You're right.
Odyssey app, though.
That's right. I could go back and rewind.
Yeah. Let's go to Steve in the Bronx. How are you, Steve?
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Big fan. I just have a different take from what you guys were talking about yesterday with why, Soto left the Yankees.
Yes.
I mean, of course, he left because of the money, no doubt about it. But there's another factor.
Yeah.
And I hope you agree with me that professional sports players have big egos. And
of course.
I think that one of the reasons why he left was that I don't think he could have dealt with Judge, being on the same team with Judge, because he could never win an MVP with him there.
I think it's a very good point that we've talked about. Right. I don't know if I'd use the word ego, though I guess you could.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because when you say that, because think about the converse was true. Aaron Judge is so good, he takes votes away from Juan Soto.
Right.
Well, why did Juan Soto take votes away from Aaron Judge?
I think, that's a good point. Because he was so overwhelmingly the MVP, it didn't matter.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just, like, why couldn't it be the other way?
It could be. If Juan Soto put up better numbers, I don't mean to disparage my new player as a Met fan, but the reality is Aaron Judge was the MVP of the American League.
Yes.
And despite Juan Soto having a really good season, I think we'd all still agree Aaron Judge was the MVP of the American League, despite the idea that Juan Soto could split the vote with him. Look, just because you have other great players doesn't mean you can't win an MVP. That's why I don't agree with the way our last caller laid it out, but I think there are other aspects of the Soto-Judge dynamic that you absolutely could throw out and say, hey, this could be a reason he left. And I've laid it out this way. Juan Soto will always be the guy that came here, while Aaron Judge will always be Mr. Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
And much like the A-Rod Jeter dynamic, it was always going to be impossible for Juan Soto to ever surpass him. While with the Mets, he can be the guy. I know right now Lindor is our captain. We all love Lindor, but Juan Soto can pass Francisco Lindor. It is certainly possible. I don't think it was ever possible for him to replace Aaron Judge in terms of the love affair that Yankee fans have with him. So I don't think the MVP would have been the word I used. SI Tom Verducci did a long-form feature on the Juan Soto free agency. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are like, I'm done with this. He picked the Mets. It's over. I don't need to rehash it. They're a documentary. But much like the Durant signing, I think that there are certain signings and power shifts in New York that are going to be examined over and over again, whether you like it or not. So Verducci did a really good interview with Steve Cohen, with Juan Soto. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is that when each team made their initial offer to Juan Soto, Scott Boras told Steve Cohen that his offer was the worst of the initial offers. Quote, Steve, you're not even in the hunt. Cohen's response, all right, I'm out. Boras says he wrote an email to Steve Cohen the next day, and it said, Steve, my job is a couple of things here. One is to represent the player, but the other thing is to give you a vision for the market so you can compete in it. So when I tell you you're non-competitive, you should view that as good news, because then you have the opportunity to be competitive. Otherwise, I'm going to say you should drop out of the race. What do you think of that?
It sounds like he's patronizing.
Is that what it was?
That's so it's, it, I mean, if they're, if that was this, it, what their conversations were like on a regular basis, I could see Steve Cohen saying, as he said, this is exhausting.
Yeah.
Because this agent is talking to me like I'm not a businessman.
Right.
Like I have no idea how to make billions of dollars.
Right.
That's it. It's just, it, I would be insulted by that.
There was a second thing that happened that I think led to the exhaustion of Steve Cohen. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
Steve Cohen reconvened with David Stearns and arranged to meet Juan Soto and his representatives, including Boris, at Cohen's home in Boca Raton, Florida on December 6th. This was the second meeting. This is the meeting where Steve Cohen even said it on the documentary, it did not go well. Now, why didn't it go well? Juan Soto himself told Steve Cohen one of his most important prerequisites was protection in the batting order. Soto had never had a big bat behind him until Manny Machado and Aaron Judge. Soto told Steve Cohen, the Mets do not have enough protection to suit him. So Soto tells Cohen.
That's kind of weak on Soto's part.
I don't think it's weak. I think he's looking at all aspects of a team and saying, I want protection.
Okay.
You're not giving me protection. But I think what's weird is, okay.
I never heard Aaron Judge say that.
Well, we don't know what he said in his free agent meetings. We have no idea.
Yeah.
In fairness.
Don't make me look like a fool, you moron.
Who'd he say that to?
How? Brian Cashman.
Oh, that part, yeah.
What do you mean, who did he say that to?
But we don't know.
Aaron Judge didn't accept this specific offer at the start of the 2022 regular season.
Well, that aspect of it. But during the actual free agency, like, it's possible Aaron Judge told the Giants, you don't offer me enough protection. It's possible. I don't know if he did. I'm just saying. We don't know. Soto tells Steve Cohen, you don't give me enough protection. Now, you hear that and you say, okay, well, what changed? Like, what changed? You signed with the Mets 2 days later.
Right.
They didn't re-sign Pete Alonso on the spot unless they told him, which is not revealed in this article, don't worry, we'll keep Alonso. And if that's the case,
Evan,
things may have gotten dicey for a while.
Just bluster.
Evan.
Tommy.
You're going to have to apologize again to me in this offseason.
Go ahead.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Oh, you think he told them? Mm-hmm. You think Cohen told them?
If you don't think star players have a say in personnel, especially a guy who signs for, I don't know, 65 years like Juan Soto, he said, I'm not going to be the last guy. You better get me more players in here.
Tiki, you want to buy that one?
Maybe. But I don't think they're spending that. I think Vlad has a better chance of going to the Yankees than he does to the Mets. Because it's another enormous contract.
Yeah. I give you credit, it is a great follow-up to my question. Because if Juan Soto directly told Steve Cohen, you don't offer me enough protection, and then 2 days later signs, and they didn't add any protection,
right.
I think that there's nothing wrong with your story that could have been what was said. I don't think it was what was said, but it's fair because I'm asking the question, like, what the hell changed in 2 days?
Piggyback that into Steve Cohen's comments about attendance and asking fans to show up. Maybe he's doing that, pushing fans to come because he knows he has to spend more money because of a handshake agreement he made with Juan Soto.
Steve Cohen grew so frustrated by the tenor of that meeting that at one point snapped. He snapped on Boris and Soto by saying, why are we even having this meeting? It sounds like you're coming up with a lot of reasons why you don't want to come to our team. How about that? Cohen leaves the house, or Soto leaves the house, goes to David Stearns and says, he's going to the Yankees. That was my feeling. Boris calls back a day later to say the meeting went well. Cohen's like, what meeting were you in?
Boris plays games, man. He's playing his own game, and you're just a passive participant.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, clearly that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And then the comment that's gotten a lot of attention over the last few days is that Soto said this about the Mets and the Yankees. As you see how long this contract is going to be, it came down to that decision. What will that team, or what do they have in their farm system? How many times can we be good on this team? I know the Yankees are going to be good for the next 5 to 6 years. We don't know after that. So Soto gave the answer of, I like the Mets' deepness of their farm system better than the Yankees, and I feel good about them 6 years from now, which I know has ruffled a lot of feathers, and some have said it's BS. Yeah. Honestly, I don't know what's true.
Why would he care?
Because he's got to sign a 15-year contract, and he wants to know what the team's going to look like in 9 years when he's still here.
Yeah, but so he's worried in 2025 what the team is going to look like in 2035.
Well, it's only, he's still got 5 years left on his deal.
I understand that, but yeah, that's a decade from now.
No, I know.
Meanwhile, we're making you five generations rich, and you're worried about what's going to happen a decade from
this
now.
This is why Steve Cohen snapped. This is why he was pissed.
I would have been pissed, too.
There's no way.
I would have said, get the hell out of here, man. Come back when you're serious. When you want to talk about something that's interesting over the next 4 or 5 years, because that's the time frame that I care about as the owner of the New York Mets, as the one who's spending a half a billion dollars to put this team together. Talk about the near future. You're going to be paid well into the far future. So don't talk to me about my farm system in 2034.
And based on
are you serious?
Cohen and his personality, I think it's very possible that he was blunt like that, which is why, and we're all guessing because none of us actually know, and Steve will never tell us the entire truth. My guess, besides the contract offer, obviously that's a big part of it, that changed between the meeting and then Soto picking the Mets may have been as simple as Steve Cohen was just brutally honest and was not going to sit there and just say, I'm going to promise you Vlad or I'm going to promise you Pete. Right. Just, okay, I'm going to talk to you real. Here's the deal. And it very well could have been a test. It could have been I'm going to throw a lot at these guys and let me see. Because one thing Boris went on to say is that Cohen passed the owner's test and that Juan wanted to trust the owner that he was dealing with.
He passed the owner's test because he gave him almost $800 million.
No, you're right. That's a big part of it. Maybe the part of it.
I don't care about anything else.
So you think everything else
Scott Boras can say whatever he wants. That's what matters. So passing the owner's test.
Everything else was a waste of time?
No, it's not a waste of time. I guess it tells you a lot about the individual, the people that you're dealing with business-wise. But he passed the test because he gave them almost $800 million.
Even though his first offer was apparently pathetic, according to Scott Boras.
Sorry, $690 million?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. It's a good idea, though, the Vlad story, Tommy. I think you're going to be wrong. How do we prove this? Just if he signs with the team next year, is that the final verdict on this whole thing?
Yeah, if Vlad is a Met, I'm right. If he's not, I'm wrong.
I agree. I'll sign on that one. If Vlad Guerrero ends up as a Met, we will replay this conversation. Sean, can you cut this? 5:45?
Yeah, sure. We'll put it right next to Goldschmidt leading off.
It's right next to the World Series predictions we're about to make, and we'll see right or wrong. It's a good idea because nothing changed about protection until months later when they re-signed Pete, but I have a tough time believing, knowing Cohen's tenor, that he would have done that.
Okay, but you would at least would agree with me that Juan Soto signing this type of deal for the amount of the years, amount of money, he has a say in personnel.
No.
I couldn't disagree more.
No way I'm giving any player that kind of control.
He might as well have changed his last name to Cohen. He's going to be around for 2 decades.
Doesn't matter. There's no way I give anybody control.
What Cohen does, and it's
creative
in this,
control.
What Cohen does, and it's cited in this article, is not that he gave Lindor control or Nimmo control. He asks his players their opinions on things. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, they're making the decision. Like, in this Verducci story, which is a really good story, he asked Lindor and Nimmo, hey, tell me what you know about Juan Soto, what kind of teammate he is, what you've heard. And so they do background stuff like that. But no, I don't think this is a Brooklyn Nets situation. By the way, we made that comparison about an hour and a half ago. We're coming full circle.
Right. I'm not saying it's in Soto's contract. I'm just saying that I'm sure Cohen and Stearns could go to Juan Soto and be like, Juan, what do you think of this player?
But that's
what
they did with Lindor and Nimmo. I think that's different. That's just, hey, I'm getting your opinion on it, but that's not like decision making. I don't think they're going to sign Vlad, but you know what? We'll put it on the record and we'll see.
I do.
See what happens. Now, along with that is our World Series predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Tiki Barber.
Yep.
The 2025 World Series will feature which two teams?
We're going back to the 70s.
You're going back to the 70s?
Yeah.
You're going to cite a World Series from the 70s? That's impressive.
Yankees-Dodgers again.
Oh, the rematch. The rematch.
Okay.
I like that. Wow. So I convinced you, because I feel like the beginning of the show, I was more positive about the Yankees, and I brought you to picking them to win the American League pennant.
I said they're going to be good.
You did say that.
They're just going to be average good, not like great good.
Who wins that?
There's going to be a lot of frustration.
Oh, definitely.
This season from Yankee fans.
But they will
see it already.
But they'll win the pennant anyway.
Yeah.
Who wins that World Series, Yankees-Dodgers?
Of course the Yankees win it.
Wow! Full homer pick by Deke!
Right. Why not?
Sean Morash.
As good a chance of being right as anybody.
Now you're right. 2025 World Series, Sean Morash.
I'm almost positive on the National League side.
You're going to be wrong about the National League side.
All right. In a season where we get zero games of playoff baseball in this city, the Detroit Tigers get swept by the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series.
Wow. Tigers. Well, Tiki Barber, watch 1 second of that World Series.
Mm. Well, I mean, I picked them a month ago when you said who else would win the East. I said the
American League pennant. Yes,
the pennant. Yeah, yes. I mean, yeah, not the East, the pennant. I said the Tigers.
That's right. All right, so you will watch that World Series.
Scoble, Flaherty, a pretty good rotation.
AJ Hinch, maybe.
Sure.
It's all about Glaber. It's all about bearded Glaber. Glaber.
I do want to tell everybody they got to watch out for Tiki and his baseball knowledge. Earlier in the show, and this may bother some in the audience, but I'll pull the curtain up. While I was saying something, I clearly was going on way too long, which is one of my biggest problems. I apologize. Tiki and Sean were orchestrating a free agent signing in fantasy baseball.
Excuse me?
I swear to God.
On office hours?
Yeah.
During office hours?
And
what up?
The guy they signed, you and I have never even heard of. Like, that's how in the weeds Tiki's getting into the baseball stuff.
Oh, I'm seeing it now. They signed Randy Johnson. He's still in the league?
Not Randy Johnson.
It says R. Johnson, starting pitcher.
What's his actual first name?
Ryan Johnson. Oh.
And apparently he made the team without ever throwing an inning in the minor leagues, which is going to be pretty interesting.
He's a right-hander from the Angels, and the last player to do this in Major League Baseball was Garrett Crochet.
How about that?
Nice.
All right, let's get back to these World Series predictions. So Tiki's got Yankees beating the Dodgers. Sean's got the Dodgers beating the Tigers. Tommy Lugauer, who are the Mets beating in the World Series this year?
For the sake of continuity on our show, Evan, I know this is in your document. You asked all of us to give our crazy prediction for the year. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And I said it would be Mets-Red Sox. Do I have to stick with that?
You can do whatever you want. You'll be wrong about one thing and right in the other.
So I get both is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In a sense. Okay, great. I'll do both. All right. I'm going to say the Mets in the 2025 World Series, the Mets will face the Texas Rangers.
And who's winning the World Series?
I mean, the Mets
okay.
in four.
All right.
Actually, in three, Texas will forfeit. After,
yeah. Imagine DeGrom. Will he actually pitch in that World Series?
No, he'll be shot by
have to buy a ticket.
So I'm totally with you on the Texas thing. And I give Sean Moraz credit because he brought this up very early in the offseason. Like, hey, you got to watch out for Texas. Super talented, very good rotation, a lot of bats. Evan Carter didn't even make the team after he was so hyped up after what happened 2 years ago. So I was going back and forth between Texas and Baltimore. My thing about the Orioles is I don't think they're going to win the division. I think the Yankees are going to win the division. But I can see the Orioles make it a big deal at the trade deadline, a Sandy Alcantara kind of trade. And the Orioles finally breaking through after two postseason defeats, two postseason embarrassments. But I can't pull the trigger. So I'm picking the Texas Rangers out of the American League, and I'm picking the Atlanta Braves out of the National League. I've got the Braves defeating the Rangers in the 2025 World Series.
Yeah. All right.
There you go. Did you think I was going to say the Mets?
No, I
knew you wouldn't.
I won't. Like, I never
are
have.
Are they making the postseason?
The Mets are going to make the postseason. The Mets are going to win 89 games and be the third wild card team in the National League.